Well, good morning again. It was a pleasure to get to sing with you this morning. And now we're going to take some time and open up God's Word together and see what He has for us today. Today is a little bit of a unique service in that we will be recognizing our high school graduates after the message today. We want to congratulate them on a job well done as they move into the next phase of life. And so this morning, as we open our word, graduates down front on my right, I wanted to bring a message that I think will challenge you, that will encourage you as you take this next step. But for the rest of us here this morning, it's not a message exclusively for them. It's a message that's also incredibly helpful and practical for us as well. There'll be plenty of reminders of what it means to follow after Christ. So if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you start at the beginning of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, just keep going. You're going to hit Proverbs. Keep going. You're going to hit the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Keep going. You're going to get into the smaller books. Those are Paul's epistles. Keep going, and eventually you're going to reach 2 Timothy there. If you have your phone, you can look it up online as well, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. As we approach our passage this morning, we jump kind of in the middle of a relationship between two people. It's the second book that Paul has written to young Timothy, but it's also not the beginning of their relationship. They have had time together. Paul met Timothy on one of his missionary journeys, recognized immediately Timothy's passion for God and for the church, and brought Timothy along with him as he completed that missionary journey. Paul served as kind of a seasoned missionary who spent years spreading the gospel and establishing churches on his missionary journeys. Through this process, Paul meets Timothy there in Lystra. Timothy joins him. And Timothy is this younger man. Yes, he has a vibrant faith for God. He wants to serve God. But there is still a lot of things that Timothy needs to learn. And so Paul is going to serve as kind of that older mentor who comes along and says, hey, Timothy, you're doing great. This is a great heart that you've developed towards God. Let's continue to flesh that heart out. Let's give you more practical instruction of what it means to follow after God. It is likely during this time that Paul began to have a mentoring role in Timothy's life, during this time of traveling together, as Paul encouraged him to grow in areas of need and challenged him on how he would serve Christ's church. Eventually, Timothy is going to become one of the overseers, one of the pastors there in the church at Ephesus. And so Paul, during this time, is mentoring and developing Timothy. Here's what it means to be a spiritual leader. Now, as Paul writes 2 Timothy, Paul is sitting in Rome during his second imprisonment there, with his death just around the corner. And 2 Timothy kind of rings out as Paul's final charge to Timothy. No doubt Paul knew his time left was dwindling. He's imprisoned in Rome. Rome hates Christians. Christians are dying constantly within this Roman Empire. And so Paul gives this charge to Timothy, knowing it may be the last words that he shares with Timothy. So what are these words? What is he wanting to impart to him? The letter reads as a mentor giving his last charge to a young man he has poured much time and effort into, trying to encourage him during the time that he has left. Paul challenges Timothy to continue walking in the faith with boldness, enduring any hardships that his obedience to Christ may bring, while fulfilling the purpose Christ has called him to fulfill. So that brings us to today. We're going to take time and recognize our high school seniors and their high school achievements at the end of this service. We're so proud of all that they have done in their scholastic career. We're proud of the good grades that you guys achieved and sought out, the academic prowess, the athletic achievements. All of those things are good things, and we should celebrate them. But if I were to poll this entire room, I think it would be unanimous that what we are most proud of is for your desire for Christ and following after him. If that's the only thing you pick up in your high school career,
that is the most important thing that you can hold on to, is where is my heart for Christ? Many of us have been out of high school almost 10 years. That's me, which is crazy to think about, that I'm out of high school for 10 years. Some of us, a little more than 10 years that we've been out of high school. But the question still rings out for us. Has our heart kept the fervor and vibrancy that we used to have for Christ when we were younger? Or have we faded over time, allowing other things to quench the fire and spirit that we have for Christ? Seniors, I want to give you a challenge today, a reminder of our mission as followers of Christ and the consequences that that mission may bring to our lives. While graduating is fun and it means the next stage of life has begun, it is important to be reminded why we are here as Christ followers. With every step forward, we must not lose sight of our eternal calling as gospel ambassadors and spiritually gifted servants. As believers, we must stay the course begun when we accepted Christ, faithfully declaring the gospel in boldness and using our gifting in his church. So, now that we've kind of set the stage for 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's jump in. We're going to pick up in verse number 3. In verses 1 and 2, Paul is basically introducing himself as an apostle and also who Timothy is, his beloved son, someone that he has mentored in the faith. Now let's see his charge beginning in verse number 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. As we start off Paul's message here to Timothy, the first thing that we see in verses 3 through 5 is Paul's encouragement and thanksgiving for Timothy. Paul starts off in verse 3 by addressing his ultimate thanksgiving over the person that Timothy has become. The thanksgiving here, though, isn't a prideful look at what I've created. Paul is looking at Timothy and the legacy that Timothy is beginning and leaving with the Christians around him. Timothy is now there at Ephesus. He's leading within his church, and Paul is so grateful for Timothy's faithfulness and continuing to follow after God. It brings great joy to Paul to recognize Timothy's continued obedience to God's word. But it's not a prideful, hey, look at me, Paul. I'm this amazing guy who created this amazing young man, Timothy. Let me give myself a pat on the back. Rather, this thanksgiving is a recognition of God's working in Timothy's life. Notice the beginning of verse 3. I thank God. Paul recognizes that, yes, though he's invested, though he spent time teaching young Timothy, it is God that ultimately is the one working within Timothy's life. It is not Paul's doing. Paul has recognized the growth and faith within Timothy and credits that growth and change to the working of God in his life. Graduates, there are many people that have invested into your lives over the last 18 years. Becca, almost 18 years, right? There have been people that have spent time teaching and mentoring you. From times in school when you're learning dreadful subjects like math and science. Just kidding, they're good things. We need to know them, right? And then there are people that have poured into our lives spiritually, that have taught us deeply from God's word. Faithful Sunday school teachers, parents, and pastors who have just poured out God's word as much as they could. Be thankful for their investment in your life. Show gratitude toward them for faithfully doing so. But never lose sight of the fact that it is God who truly makes the greatest changes inside and out. A godly mentor will not point you towards themselves and their own level of goodness and greatness and just be exactly like me. A godly mentor, like Paul, will push you to following after Christ, for modeling your life after him, recognizing that he is the one that makes the greatest change and impact. It is God that provides us the greatest change when we go from death to life through the power of his gospel. It is God that provides us the power, grace, and mercy that fuels our daily sanctification. Never lose sight of your need to depend upon God for everything that he has for you. Read deeply from his word and spend much time in prayer, allowing the Spirit access to your hearts and minds. Likewise, we as a congregation should model our lives exactly like that. It's not just for the younger generation of the church. We don't reach a level of our life where it's like, yeah, I've read the Bible. I've got it all up here. I'm good. I don't need any more spiritual investment. It is a lie from Satan, and it is a prideful, arrogant heart. We must all recognize our need to depend on God and thank him for his continued working in our hearts and lives. While Paul has made the investment, and so many people have in your lives, the greatest investment a spiritual leader can make in your life is to point you to the Word of God and the power that he has to change your life. Stay focused on his Word. So Paul begins in verse number 3 by saying, I thank God. And then he gives kind of a parenthetical statement that happens the rest of verse number 3 and verse number 4. If we look at what Paul is being thankful for towards Timothy, we pick up that thought in verse number 5. It's almost as Paul is writing this. He says, I thank God, and it reminds him, hey, Timothy, beyond just thanking God, I'm daily praying for you. Paul continues reminding Timothy of his own legacy of following after God that he is encouraging Timothy to follow. Note what he says there in verse number 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. No doubt you have heard from your parents, your teachers, friends, and pastors to keep pressing forward following Christ. You are the next generation that will continue the process of serving God with a pure conscience. In other words, serving God in a way that is clear and honest of our purpose. Paul wanted Timothy to understand that Paul has no regrets following after God. When Paul looks at his life and everything that he's done in service to God, he recognizes it is a life well lived, and he has a pure conscience for the way that he has acted and the way that he has behaved. Why could Paul say this? Because he surrounded himself with focusing on Christ. That was his only goal. You read through Paul's epistles and you get that sentiment over and over and over. His life was all about Christ. Paul was dead. Christ was living in his place. While this readily applies to our graduates of following after Christ and looking at the godly legacy that their mentors have left, just like Timothy had Paul's legacy and Paul's behavior and obedience to look back on, it is also a steady reminder to us as well. Parents, just because these young adults are out of the house doesn't mean that it's your time to start slowing down spiritually. Sometimes I think that is how American Christianity goes. I have kids in the house, so I need to get in church, right? I'm not really in church, but the kids come. We know church is good, so let's go to church. And we invest in our kids, and we take them to church. And as soon as they leave, it's like, whew, let's just fall back to how we were before kids because the important job is done. The sad reality is that happens far too often within Christian circles. What Paul is pointing Timothy to is, I have continued to walk. I am not going to stop following after Christ. Timothy, follow my same attitude. Keep pursuing God. Because we have been serving Christ for more years than others does not mean that we get to take a back seat while the younger people do all the work. Right? Just because maybe we've been around church for 30, 40, 50 years doesn't mean our time to serve Christ's church has come to an end. It maybe changes the avenue and the way in which we're serving, but we still have a requirement to serve because we still have our spiritual gifting. As members here at Faith, our seniors are graduating, they're moving on into that next phase of life, but we will continue to be examples to them of following after Christ. May we seek to live a faithful, godly legacy that puts Christ at the center of everything that we do. We must continue serving with and alongside them because the mission is not yet done. May we continue to leave a godly legacy for the younger generations coming up within our church. So Paul first reminds him of his legacy, but then he reminds Timothy that he is praying for him, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul's thanksgiving for Timothy led him to be daily in prayer for his dear friend and ministry partner. Consider how encouraging that must have been for Timothy to read. Paul is praying for me. Paul loves me enough to take my name to God in prayer, asking for God's divine help and encouragement and power in my life. We've had many messages on prayer over the last year as we have taken time to pray together as a church during our evening prayer services. We've heard in those messages the importance and the power of prayer. It is one of the most powerful in the Christian tool belt. So use it. Graduates, recognize the power of prayer that you have access to. I can take all of my needs to God in prayer, just like Paul could pray for Timothy and know that God would work and answer on behalf of those prayers. Likewise, you have the same unbridled access to God. Spend time deeply in prayer, relying on Him in the matters that you have need. Seniors, also know, well, graduates now. Graduates, also know that we will be faithfully praying for you as you enter the next phase of life. Know your parents will be spending, no doubt, hours in prayer for you as you head forward living after Christ. But likewise, we as a church will continue to pray for you, praying that God straightens the road in front of you, that though the road ahead may be long, difficult, tiring, and discouraging at times, we will be praying. And God will be working, and you can rest and trust in Him. Now, I've made a commitment for us as a church to pray for these graduates. So let's do that, church. Let's follow the model here of Paul, recognizing that prayer is a powerful tool, and so we must utilize it. We must be praying for our next generation. We must be tapping into God's divine resources of grace to be ever present within their lives. It is needed. And so we must be faithful in doing so. Just like that Paul, that we could have the same sentiment towards all of our graduates and our younger people within the church. I am continuing in prayer for you daily. So this is great encouragement. Paul is reminding him just how much God has worked in his life. He's reminding him of the godly legacy that he can follow after. He's not alone. Other people have gone down this road as well. And then beyond that, Paul is faithfully praying for him. And then in verse number 4, we see Paul's desire and thankfulness for Timothy made the difficulty of not seeing one another hard. Graduates, as you head out, some of you are planning to stay here locally and continue serving here at Faith. Others of you plan to head to the next spot that God has for you, whether that's in college or whether that's in some other field. Know that we will deeply miss you. Your parents will deeply miss you, and you will deeply miss us. But it doesn't mean that you're on your own. Paul longs to be able to spend time with Timothy. He recognizes that the last time, based on verse 4, that they saw each other, there were tears. It was hard to leave. But Paul recognized it's good for Timothy to go and do the gospel mission that Christ has for him. This is the natural progress of life. Timothy is growing older. He's stepping out. He's taking on the role that Christ has for him. Do not be lackadaisical in seizing that. Move forward, graduates. Move forward in confidence that we are all behind you, praying for you, supporting you as you go after Christ. And while it may be difficult at that parting, there is always going to be great joy, knowing we will see each other again, whether here on this earth or in eternity beyond. And that living a life for Christ is the greatest joy that we could ever experience. Graduates, I'm sure that there will be tears shed over the next year. Some homesickness will sink in. It's inevitable. I got homesick in college, living 3 minutes from my house. It's going to set in. It's inevitable. It's a part of life. What does it mean? We miss being around those that we love and we care for. We know that you will long to be with your family and your family longs to be with you. Stay faithful in those moments. Let the reminder that we are cheering you on encourage you during those times. There's amazing technology now called FaceTime. And we can spend time and you can still have those meaningful relationships, but stay faithful at where God has you. Don't allow the fears and troubles of this life to stop you from accomplishing that mission. Paul expresses his great desire to see Timothy. He's so proud of what Timothy is doing, and his love for Timothy is so great, he misses being there, but he is so thankful for what Timothy is continuing to do, and that is our heart. Yes, we will miss you. We will be sad to see some of you go, but we are so excited for what God will do and accomplish through your lives. And know that brings us great joy. So then, we move on to verse number 5, and we see kind of the finishing of Paul's initial statement. I thank God. Here is what is really bringing that thanks to mind. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Notice who Paul recognizes as the source of this faith that is in Timothy. He recognizes Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Parents, never forget that our chief aim is not to create hard workers, though that is good. Our chief aim is not to raise good citizens, though that's a good and noble endeavor. Our chief aim is not to raise moral kids, though it's commendable when someone has moral character. Our chief aim is to raise young people who are passionate followers of Christ. If your child struggles at everything else, they struggle academically, athletically, corporately, but they love Christ and his word, that's what matters. That's what we can be so proud of. So parents that still have young people within their homes, how are you cultivating their heart? What focus are you intertwining into their lives? Are you building a young person that merely cares about being a moral, good, upright citizen who works hard, but really doesn't have a desire for God or his church? Or are you cultivating a young person who seeks the Lord in his word, that is passionate about serving him in whatever capacity that God has for them? We should be very diligent in the young people that we are raising. Timothy's great mission that he is on, this mighty work that he will do in Ephesus as a pastor, would not have been as probable if not for the faithful instruction and teaching from his grandmother and his mother. Their constant influence and their pushing of them towards Christ. Graduates, as you head out, don't lose the focus towards Christ your parents have imparted into you, that godly mentors have imparted into you, that your pastors have spent time pouring into you. Hold on to that focus, regardless of what other things happen in life and whatever temptations come upon you that seek to pull your attention off of him. Stay focused on Christ. As I think through this exchange of faith that has happened between Lois, or his grandmother Lois, and his mother Eunice to Timothy, I think of a runner running a relay. He's bringing the baton, and the next person is ready to receive the baton. And they have to, like, kind of match their speed, and as they get closer, one's handing it out, the other's reaching back, waiting for it. And the most awful thing happens is when they're out of sync and the baton falls. Man, all that hard work that they poured into training for this race has just evaporated in a single instance as that baton clatters to the floor. Too many batons of faith are dropped because parents start focusing on too many other things. When you watch someone exchanging a baton, they're laser focused on the baton. But if you're too busy staring at the crowd as you're running by, as they're cheering your name, you're going to miss the handoff. I think sometimes we emphasize the wrong thing. And the next generation picks up on that. And what we've taught them, they fulfill. No doubt Paul has experienced this firsthand, watching Demas leave him for love of this present world. He's watched someone walk away from the faith. We must be diligent in exchanging the faith. But notice, Paul also says that this faith is unfeigned. It's not fake. It's not something that they put on a show for everyone to think they have faith. And in reality, it's hollow and it's empty. Growing up, we used to go to Disneyland every once in a while there in Southern California. And they have one of their parks, California Adventure Park. And they had a street that looked like a normal street with vendors. And then about halfway down the street, it just went into a wall that they painted to look like the street continued going forward. And it was so convincing when you were maybe like 400 yards away. You're looking down that road and you're like, wow, that thing goes forever. But the closer you got, you realize, hey, this is just a concrete wall that they've painted. That is the idea of a feigned faith. It looks genuine, but when you get up to it, when you begin to evaluate it, it's hollow and it's empty. Paul has challenged Timothy and is thankful that Timothy's faith is not faked. Graduates, as you head out, this will be a time of testing that will reveal whether Christianity was just something that your parents did and you were a part of, or whether it's a genuine part of who you are. If your faith was faked or if your faith was genuine. I don't say that to try to crush you or make you feel terrible about yourself, but it is a realistic thing that we must all be on guard for. For all of us in the congregation, it doesn't matter how often we attend church, what areas of ministry we serve in. It doesn't matter how many verses we can memorize. If we do not have a heart that is tuned towards God, if we have not recognized our sinfulness and our need to rely on him for his salvation, our faith is empty. As you guys go forward, as you young people, as you move forward, may your faith be proven to be genuine. May you seek to have a genuine faith that is proven out by your works that go to Christ's glory. So be faithful. We are rejoicing for what God has already done in your lives, and we are praying that God will continue to do so. So run with confidence. Stay focused on what lies ahead. The second thing that we see from Paul as he challenges Timothy in verses 6 through 8 is Paul's challenge to keep faithfully serving. To keep faithfully serving. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul begins his challenge by reminding Timothy of his spiritual gifting in verse 6. Paul reminds Timothy that his spiritual gifting is a result of God in his life, verified by Paul's faithful ministry towards him. Paul recognizes that God has given Timothy this spiritual gifting, and Paul has verified and seen it at work in Timothy's life, confirming and encouraging Timothy to continue developing that spiritual gift. Paul is challenging Timothy to not give up using his spiritual gifting. He challenges him to stir it up, to utilize it, to mix it. As I was thinking through this idea of stirring up the gifting, I thought of aerating a plant, maybe a house plant that you have. And over time, that soil starts to become less fertile. It starts to become less conducive for life and energy for the plant. So what do? You take that soil and you mix it up. You break it up. You mix it and swirl it all around so that the plant can flourish, so that it can have ample food and energy as it continues to grow. It takes work to cultivate this plant in its growth. Likewise, it takes work to cultivate one's gifting and to employ it within his church. You all have spiritual gifting as followers of Christ. During our membership lessons together, we talked about the spiritual gifting, how the Spirit gifts everyone at the moment of salvation so that they can be a special part of Christ's church in serving the body in such a unique way. But it's not about you. Remember, your spiritual gifting is about the body. It's about fitting together and doing your role that helps the gospel go forward within Christ's church. So you must be faithful in imparting your gifting within Christ's church. If there is a role for you and a gifting to be able to fill that role, be faithful in utilizing it for Christ's honor and glory. But be cautious that you don't start to assume that you are Christ's and God's gift to the church. It is not something that should induce pride within us about our own superiority. It's not like Timothy needs to be walking around like, look at me, I'm Timothy, I have this amazing gifting that Paul has verified, right? It's not a matter of pride, because 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us, and we went through that together, the gifting is purely from God. God is the one whose power enables any fruit to come from our gifting. None of it is due to our own desire, equipping, or even strength to be able to make it successful. It is only through Christ and God that it is. So utilize your gifting within Christ's church. He's empowered you. He's given it to you. Use it. Likewise, as a congregation, we must be utilizing our spiritual gifting. Paul encourages Timothy to utilize his gift, but likewise, it broadens to the whole church. Use your gifting. The Spirit has gifted you in such a way that only you can fill that need. So use it for the glory and honor of God and the blessing and strengthening of Christ's church. A gentle warning and reminder for you, though. You cannot use your gifting in Christ's church if you aren't there. So make it a priority to be there. Wherever you end up, make it a priority to join your church, to find an avenue for you to serve so that you can utilize your gifting and you can see God's blessing in the lives of those around you. I know school is going to be hard. There's going to be so many things pulling your attention and direction as you study and you work. All of those are good things. It's part of growing up and adulting, as the kids say. Somewhere, Nina and Eve are cringing as they're watching this message, right? It's part of that adulting process. My freshman year was incredibly hard. A lot of work, a lot of school, and I was struggling as I went into this new thing. But do you know what I'm so thankful for? Continuing to be within my church and taking time to serve in the ministry that God had allowed me to be part of. I look back on those years, and maybe I didn't get the grade I wanted in every single class, but I'm so thankful for the fruit that God let me see when I was able to serve through Christ Church. You will not regret it. Don't let these years be lost because you go and you just sit. Be active and engaged in serving Christ Church. But then he continues, don't just use your gifting But then also verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here, Paul wants them to understand that they must stand boldly for the gospel. When utilizing your gifting, there may be some conflict that comes into your path. By being faithful proclaimers of the gospel, you may have some unkind words shared towards you. Stand boldly, regardless of what obstacles you may face, because of your faith. Paul is writing to Timothy in a time that has intense persecution. Paul is about to be killed for his faith, as so many countless others followers of Christ during that time were. In fact, remember, Paul started off as Saul and did some of those killings. It was an incredibly difficult time to be a follower of Christ. In many ways, it ended your social life. It put you on the bottom of society. Yet Paul is telling him, Timothy, be bold. Don't let the fear of culture around you snuff out your light of the gospel. Shine brighter, knowing that you are making an impact in those around you. Graduates, as you head out, you will be heading to places and interacting with people that most of us in this room never will. They need the gospel, so be bold in carrying it to them. I may never have the ability to have a conversation with someone that you work with off campus. I doubt I'll ever be down there and go into that store. But do you know who does? You. So seize that moment. Seize that opportunity in boldness. Paul reminds Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We shouldn't be cowering under a rock, keeping our faith hidden. Let it shine brightly. Why? Because God has given us his power to fuel our gospel witness. We plant the seed, God gives the fruit. So we must be faithful in planting the seed with boldness. Not only has he given us a spirit of boldness because of his power, but he's also given us a spirit of love. It is a heart of love that recognizes that each individual is an image bearer who will spend eternity somewhere. It is love that shares the gospel even when it is uncomfortable, because we want them to experience the life-changing grace of Christ. How do we show we love someone? By investing in them spiritually, by pouring into them the love of Christ. It is love that allows us to go boldly, because we have a love for them beyond just this earthly realm, recognizing the eternal realm exists and they will spend eternity somewhere. But then God has also given us a sound mind. The idea here is the discipline to faithfully fulfill the duty that we have been given. You guys will need discipline in your scholastic affairs. You'll need to begin to plan out. Here's my syllabus. Here's when all of my projects are due. Let me pencil them in. Let me make sure that they get done. You're not going to have someone coming behind you, nagging you. Did you make sure you did your math homework? Right? It's on you. It's on your own. You're going to begin developing and already flexing that discipline muscle that you've cultivated during your high school career. But you also need to be disciplined in your walk with Christ. You need to be disciplined to faithfully follow after him. In other words, it takes work. It's not going to be something that just happens. We need to prioritize it. It needs to be a vital part of our lives. To be disciplined in sharing the gospel and utilizing the gift that God has given us, not allowing fear to stop us. Timothy, at some level, has struggled with this. This fear that has crept into his life as an overseer there in Ephesus. I think everyone in this room would admit there are times when fear has crept into our own lives and kept us from being maybe the witness that God intends us and desires us to be. Seeing graduates, you're going to face moments like that. It's part of life. It's part of having a sin nature. Don't allow that fear to conquer you. As Brother Sam reminded us last week, the victory is already won. We have so much confidence in who God is. Allow that power to shine through you. And he ends it in verse number 8. by challenging Timothy to not be ashamed of him or the gospel. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul understood that there is a tough road ahead for Timothy in a culture that was hostile to the gospel. Graduates, our culture is becoming more hostile to the gospel by the year. Stand firm. Do not be ashamed of your Christian heritage. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't allow the pressures of this world to force you to change your beliefs just to be more liked. Stay firm to what God's word has. During this month of June, in Pride Month, it has saddened me to see people that I knew in college, at a Christian college, now open and affirming, but still claiming to be followers of Christ. The pressures of this world will seek to change you and to mold you into their shape. Stay faithful in following after Christ, standing firmly on his word. Likewise, we as a church must not be ashamed of the gospel, no matter how unpopular it may become within society. We must stand boldly as beacons of the hope of Christ within our community here at Beaver Creek and wherever else God sends us out from this church. May we never be ashamed of what it means to follow after him or the message that he imparts. Paul knew the road for Timothy may include death. He doesn't know, but he knows that there are going to be afflictions. And he tells him, don't be afraid of those. Don't be ashamed of them, but rather be a partaker of these afflictions. This is quite the encouraging message, right? Paul's like, hey, Timothy, there's going to be really difficult things, and it's going to be really hard, and there's all this persecution. Partake in it. Be a part of it. Receive the persecution that you are facing. Why would Paul tell them this? Because when we embrace the persecution that comes from following after Christ, we bring glory and honor to him, and we remain faithful to him. Paul reminds Timothy of the great hope that we have in him. It doesn't matter if we lose our life on this earth, if we are hid in Christ. Though someone may take our earthly life, they cannot take the spiritual life that Christ has imparted to you and I. God has already won the battle over sin and death, and through his righteousness placed on our account, we can stand boldly, recognizing that nothing, Romans 8, nothing can keep us from the love of God. We are securely in him. So embrace the persecution that comes from following after Christ. They persecuted Christ. They're going to persecute those that follow after him. Why? Because they hated Christ. And likewise, they will hate you because of Christ in you. Stand boldly in spite of that, embracing the persecution that may come. Recognizing that God's faithfulness, grace, and mercy will allow you to make it through that. But understand, to become a partaker requires action. When was the last time that you saw a football player standing on the sidelines get intentionally tackled during a game? Like they all line up and the middle linebacker is lined up looking at the quarterback, and then the quarterback says, "Hike." And all of a sudden, the middle linebacker turns, sprints off the field, and tackles some fifth-string lineman sipping water out of the Gatorade bottle. It never happens, right? Why? Because that's not his purpose. He's not in the game at that moment. The linebacker's job is to stop the running back who's coming downhill with the ball. If we don't face persecution, if we don't face resistance, perhaps it's time to consider, am I being an active partaker in taking the gospel forward? Am I being bold and confident with the message of Christ, if I'm facing no opposition. Yes, your life may be comfortable. Yes, it may be easy in a secular term, but you will miss out on the deep rewards of Christ's grace by not following after him. The persecution we may face now is light. At most, it seems like an unkind word or a door slammed in the face or a silly name that someone attaches to you, like Little Bible Luke. I don't know if that's what people call you, but that could be a name that someone called you, Little Bible Luke, right? Could be a silly name. And words sting, right? But we can make it through the obstacles in Christ, and we must be faithful in following after him. As we come to a conclusion, I was reminded throughout this message and studying through this passage of a missionary to Haiti that was killed about a week and a half ago. A man and his wife serving there, they had a compound. They were doing a lot of really great work there in Haiti, ministering to a lot of orphans. And as no doubt many of you know, Haiti is in a very difficult climate right now. A lot of crime and lack of stability there in the country. And a group of a gang came through, overran their compound, and ended up killing this man and his wife in their early 20s. And I remember reading a post from their dad, the son's dad, as he was on the phone with the son when this happened. And just the heartbreak that he had for the loss of his son and his daughter-in-law. But the great joy he had knowing that they took their life and spent it living for Christ, wherever that took them. Whether that was there in the U.S., whether that was in Haiti, or wherever that was, he was so glad they were willing to follow Christ no matter what it took. But as I read through that post on social media, I noticed a comment right under that was from a supposed Christian based on their bio that said, "What a waste of a life." Graduates, I want to remind you, we will never waste a life spent living for Christ. That's what is underlying Paul's life. It wasn't a waste to serve him. That's what he's encouraging Timothy. Timothy, do the same. Follow the godly legacy. Stay bold in Christ. Why? Because a life spent following after him will never be a failure. It may be within the earth's metric system of what success is. You may not have the most money or the biggest house or the most land or the highest status, right? That's what the earth says is success. And it's a lie because all it brings is emptiness because you cannot carry it to the next life. All that matters and all that will move on is what is done for Christ. So make that your priority. If we boldly and faithfully follow after Christ, we will lead a life well lived. As believers, we must stay the course begun when we accepted Christ, faithfully declaring the gospel in boldness and utilizing our gifting within his church. As we move into a time of reflection, they're going to play some music over the speakers for us. I want us as a church to take some time and spend some minutes in prayer for our graduates. May we pray that their hearts would stay focused on Christ, that they would pursue him wherever that leads. I want you to pray that we will continue to encourage them, that we will continue to be faithful in instructing them in the word of God and leaving a legacy that they can follow after. Graduates, I want you to take some time and pray for God to continue working in your life. Take some time and pray for God to open doors in the future, that he would allow you to find a place to join and to serve and just experience the great depths of his grace. So the music will begin to play. Let's take some time together and pray.